AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Hello, friends, and welcome to a Monday morning edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast, proudly sponsored by Stardust Spirits and Molecular UK. And I'm afraid, friends, it's one of those, isn't it? This Monday morning, it's how full is your glass? Ipswich Town nil, Wrexham nil. So are we sitting here thinking clean sheet, five games unbeaten, could be an important point at the end of the season? Or are we sitting here thinking, well, that was pretty toothless and frustrating and an opportunity missed? We're going to talk about that in a minute. But first of all, I'm going to introduce my two best friends, Rossi and Alex. Stu, in true Rossi style, is off for a lie down today. Just got a day off. Don't know what he's doing. Rossi, how are you, my friend? I want to immediately ask you about dirty mac and cheese.
I'm very well. And that was fantastic. A nice change to the menu. We normally get stroganoffs or chili. Obviously, we appreciate we get an opportunity to get food in the media room. But yeah, it was a nice sort of change. I don't know if they did that for the Wrexham, like, obviously it's not Welsh, but like the American ownership. Maybe they thought, oh, let's link up with Hollywood FC and stuff. It was very nice. Badly, that was my first meal of the day because I covered the under-18s in the morning, sort of skipped breakfast because sort of woke up and I was just like, I didn't fancy breakfast. And I went to the game. So I was very, very hungry. When I arrived, when I got told it was dirty mac and cheese, I was delighted and that was very nice indeed.
There's one question that clearly needs asking, which I'm going to ask you now. What, pray tell, makes it dirty?
I don't know.
Well, maybe what was in it? Normally mac and cheese is obviously pasta and cheese sauce. So what was in it?
Basically beef. It just added meat to it. And then a lot of different flavours. There was a lot of spice to it as well. I've got to give a shout out to the lovely ladies who give us our accreditation when we arrive. They always let me know what we've got because they know I like the food.
Your reputation precedes you. Match day,
yeah. Pretty much. And they normally go and then they go, you know, hope you enjoy it. And they always tell me about it. You know, they said, it's got a bit of a spice. But one said, no, it's no spice at all. It was a nice change. And it's probably, for me, top of the leaderboard in terms of food so far this season.
Okay, how was it for you then, AJ, the dirty mac and cheese?
First thing to say, believe it was pulled pork on the mac and cheese, which maybe makes more sense. There you go. Should we have a little look for the viewers? It's on my Twitter. There we go.
There's that does look more cheese. Like pulled pork to me.
Yeah, yep. The ratio potentially was a bit off. We've gone a bit self-serve yourself, there we go, at Ipswich, which I quite like. It's good, but... I maybe got the ratios a little bit off there, but it was good. I liked it. It was up there, as Ross says. I love starting with the media scrum review. It's good, isn't it? And I know we're looking ahead a little bit here, but Hull as well have won all sorts of awards for their food, and I'm quite excited for that. We had some good stuff last time as well, Ross. If you remember, that it was nice when we went up there. So looking forward to that for the food.
Have you ever had a dirty margarita, boys? Do you know what makes a dirty margarita?
I haven't.
What makes it dirty? Pickle juice.
Oh.
Pickle juice in a margarita. Oh, spicy marg, obviously, you put some chili in. There we go. Friends, another thing to mention before we actually have to talk about this game is you met some friends from across the seas. Do you want to talk a little bit about this, AJ? If you can, if you're able to. Sorry.
Yeah, let me, when I just get my water down me. It was really good, this. So those of you who listen to us week in, week out, as you all should, might remember Villa. My context and a bit of a recap, my friend Connor went over to Finland because he's a nut job, to watch third tier football, went to FC Honka and watched them play in a playoff game. And he bumped into someone wearing an Ipswich coat and said, oh, my mate covers Ipswich. And he goes, oh, is it one of the lads from the EADT? And there you go. That's how we found out our first Finnish listeners and subscribers, they're all subscribed. Go check out our latest offer, hint, hint. And yeah, it was really good because they were able to come over for this game. They come over a couple of times, 2-3 times a season. They did more when they were in League One. I got all of their League One stories of going to Portsmouth and Lincoln and places like that. They've been to MK Dons before, Cambridge, all of those ones. But yes, they've been able to come over for this one. and it was really nice to meet them and catch up with them, go for a drink. And then, of course, the big one as well. We got them on game day.
Absolutely. If you've not watched it, go back and watch it. Two generations of Town fans, because I believe the father, whose name I can't remember, Rossi, hopefully you can remember. No, of course you can't. Can you, AJ? I suppose we should shout them all
please
out.
Please don't put me on the spot. Please don't put me on the spot with this one. It's too early in the morning. Villa okay. And his family were there.
Villa and his family. But it's Villa Senior, shall we say, who is the original Town fan, and then got the two sons involved. And just a reminder, Rossi, that, you know, how big a club Ipswich Town are, that they've got, fans far flung across the world and people coming over from Finland just to watch a 0-0 against Wrexham.
Very much so. Obviously, the Robbie Robson's team of the 70s and 80s helped. Definitely a lot of supporters from abroad and in Europe and stuff. But yeah, it's great to hear those sort of stories for, you know, fans that come over. I know there's a few fans, they're born in England, but they moved to different countries and they've come over. I think there's even like a family in France and they come to every game. They've got a season ticket and they get like the you know, Channel Tunnel, or they get the Eurostar every home game, which is incredible. But yeah, apologies to the Finnish fans. I forgot their names already. I did actually have to ask them on game day about their names, because if they told me when I said hello, they shook my hand. Yeah. But my mind just goes blank when the camera is press record and I'm like, oh, bollocks, tell me your names. But yeah, it was really good to see them. And just a shame they saw a goalless draw against Wrexham.
Yeah. Well, great to actually have you on game day, Villa and family. And hopefully next time you come back, it'll be a more entertaining game and we can get you back on to wax lyrical about all the goals you've seen at Portman Road. Big, important step for me this weekend, boys. One of those key things you tick off in the winter, the autumn turning into winter season. First roast of the season. Chicken, which in my view is the second top. Beef, obviously top tier. Chicken, lamb, pork, I'd say that'd be my tier. It's a warm-up roast, really, because I'm off next week in the Peak District. Next Sunday, or this Sunday as it will be, we're going straight to the top. Beef, roast beef in the Peak District in the cold, Christmas lights up all around us, be lovely. Anyway, I'm waxing lyrical because we haven't got a lot to talk to about the game, have we, boys? So we've done 8 minutes just talking about Dirty Mac and Finnish fans and my roast dinner. Shall we talk about Ipswich Town 0, Wrexham 0? AJ, well, unfortunately, we have to. We're contractually obliged. Do you want to give us your opening thoughts and then we can hear from Kieran McKenna and then we can get Ross's opening thoughts and then we can try and pull out some talking points from a 0-0 draw?
Yeah, you asked glass half full, half empty. Yeah. I guess that's the best way of looking at it. How are we feeling? I'm basically slap bang in the middle of this one, where I'm immensely frustrated. It was different in a way to the Watford game, where with Watford they created clear-cut chances, they worked the goalkeeper, they should have won that game. With this one, they had the territory and it was all just kind of half chances. So it kind of, when you look at the Tuesday night home games that we've had, which I think is almost the best way of looking at it, you've had one end of the spectrum being the Watford game, good performance, created chances, should have taken them, conceded a stupid goal, but overall we left feeling quite positive from that one. Charlton on the other end of the spectrum had the chances, but they were mostly half chances, then totally wet the bed in the second half and capitulated. And this one basically comes slap bang in the middle. So I'm not leaving this game feeling incredibly disappointed and frustrated and upset. At the same time, it's harder to see the positives from it because of the way that they played, because of the lack of creativity in the team. There's two different sides of it and it just kind of leaves me somewhere in the middle feeling a bit meh.
Okay. I think that's the first time we've ever had a urine-based analogy on the show. And that seems a good way to segue into Kieran McKenna. Let's hear what he thought about it. I bet he doesn't mention urine.
Yeah, I think you said after the last home game that the overriding word was probably frustration. And what ones that apply again today?
Yeah, I think certainly so. Yeah, it's a game that, of course, we felt like we should have won. There were some positives to the performance, and we've given away, you know, very, very little against a team who've been dangerous all season. But ultimately, we haven't managed to get the goal to turn it into the victory that we wanted. So, yeah, we're frustrated by that.
Did you feel like you created enough in that? I mean, you had enough of the ball, you had enough on the territory, but for all the shots, there probably isn't tons of clear-cut chances, is there, in the match?
No, I think, look, if we score one of the chances that we have later in the second half, then we have created enough, and the margin to score on one of those isn't very big. Of course, you always want to create more. You have to give Wrexham credit as well. When we were in the final third, they were very, very deep, and they defended with the big centre-halves inside the frame of the goal with their midfield line really, really deep, so it was really hard to get chances close to the goal. But we need to keep working to improve on that phase. It's the most difficult, probably, part of football, to be fair. It doesn't matter whether it's for us or the best teams in the world, when teams are defending with lots and lots of bodies deep, really close to the edge of their goal. It's not easy to create big chances. So we need to keep working on our final third play, but also on our set plays. You win that game on a set play. We had enough counter-attacking opportunities to score a goal off a counter-attack. We had some counter-pressure moments that, you know, we could have done a little bit better to get the goal. So, of course, one part of the game is coming out frustrated that when they were really, really deep, we didn't manage to create as many big chances as you would like. But I still feel like, on the balance of it, we've had enough there, and enough ball in really dangerous positions, enough shots and a couple of big chances to think that we should be scoring at least one goal in the game.
OK then, Rossi, so big K Money says we should have won the game. Agree with that. And how was it for you? How wet did you get? I hope you were well insulated against the rain.
Do you know what? I didn't get as wet as I first feared, because I knew it was going to be a very wet day. As I said earlier in the podcast, I went to the under-18s game in the morning, and when I arrived for that one, it was raining heavily, and I was like, oh, God, I'm going to be soaked by the time I get to Portland Road. But out of nowhere, sort of the sky cleared. It was still, like, dull, but the rain stopped. And then when I arrived at Portland Road, that is when it started raining, and I thought, oh, dearie me. And I got a little bit wet pitch side, some wet feet. If you watch game day, I have said I'm going to be wearing boots going forward because, the trainers are wearing probably isn't. Even to be fair, Sasha even mentioned that when I left the house. She was like, are you sure you're going to wear that footwear? And I was like, yeah, I'll be all right. And I got wet feet. But to the game, as they've done many times against defensive teams, they've huffed and puffed, but they haven't blown the house down. We left Portland Road very frustrated once again, thinking, how have we not won that game? You know, we had 19 shots or something. But I'm trying to think, top of my head right now, just watched highlights this morning again, and there wasn't really anything that tested their goalkeeper. So, a point is not ideal against a team who just got promoted, but just didn't do well enough to win the game, to be honest.
I hope you don't get trench foot, Rossi, because that would leave us open to quite a large compensation claim, putting you in harm's way. Ooh. Make sure you've got your feet in. Yeah, you don't want trench foot, mate. AJ, let's start talking about some talking points then. I guess the first thing would be the team. And tell me if you agree. I was quite surprised that Jack Taylor started this game. I thought they might go back to Jens Kyu, given that it's at home, you expect to have more of the ball. Mm-hmm. The side probably not going to be too ambitious. Coming from Wrexham, obviously missing key players as well. I thought Jens Kajusta would be the man to start this game, purely because when you've got more of the ball, you want creative players with that ball. That was my thinking. But I suppose looking at it, you could also argue that Hull might be that tomorrow night. So,
yeah, different ways to look at it. I think the thing for me was trying to find the balance going forward and knowing that, again, and we're going to talk to the ends of the earth about it, 7 games in 22 days. That's a hell of a lot of football. And you've got players in there, and Jens falls into that category of those that won't be able to play week in, week out, game in, game out. And then it's about trying to find that balance about how you go with it. I knew that Taylor had been away, obviously, with Ireland, and kind of factoring that in. Jens would have had a couple of weeks of a really good training, you would have imagined, and thought that might have just given him the opportunity to come in and start. And it was something that Stu mentioned beforehand. Ultimately, you've got someone in Jack Taylor that's performed every time he's been in the team, really. taking him out, does it send the right message in a way, given how he's performed? So I can understand it from that sense. And maybe there are a couple of other bits within that starting lineup that were more surprising. That was one that I could have seen really going either way. The Kipre Greaves thing, I thought, was an interesting one in terms of changing the centre-backs again. We had Kipre in the game against Watford. Greaves came in against Swansea. It's Kipre for this game. You'd imagine that there's a very good chance that could change again tomorrow, given Jacob Greaves' situation. So chopping and changing there. Jaden Philogene back in on the left. Understandable, given how he plays at Portman Road. And Azon starting up front as well. One that I didn't expect, I've got to be honest. I didn't see that one coming. But maybe given that George Hurst would understandably not be in the prime physical state, given some of the celebrations potentially from the end of last week, out on the town in Glasgow, enjoying himself, maybe it made sense to give Azon the opportunity to come in and get some more minutes from the start.
I think George Hurst said he just had a very quiet night, didn't he? And I've got no reason to disbelieve him because it doesn't seem
That's true. But you never know. The thing is, if you're having a quiet night, you never know what John McGinn's doing next door, for example, might be keeping him up. And he's going, no, John, I want to get to sleep. And I don't know. I'm just speculating.
All right, then, Rossi. The other kind of, I guess, main talking point, which again, Kieran touched that there in his post-match comments, is placing sides who come to Portman Road and play a low block, essentially park the bus, and how you'd imagine this is going to be something that Town face quite a lot this season. And they've got to find ways of breaking those teams down. And Kieran said, you know, it's one of the toughest things to do in football. So how frustrating was it for you in terms of Town's efforts to do that? There always seems to be a conversation around how quickly they move the ball or don't. What were your take on that?
Yeah, very frustrating. You sort of knew it was going to be a long afternoon when you've got Wrexham playing five, you know, defensive players. And we've seen that a few times already this season, especially at Portman Road, which annoyingly, I think teams know what we're all about now. When we came into the Championship, we were a bit of an unknown because we just got promoted. But now everyone knows what we do under Kieran McKenna. And Wrexham, fair play to them. They got their point. I'm sure they, you know, going to try to nick one. They had a few chances sort of counter. And I was like, oh no, could this be one of those days where a robbery has just commenced and calling the cops and stuff? But, you know, thankfully not. But just, once again, we have all the ball, dominate as we normally do. But we're just so slow with it. There's just times where I'm like, I'm even shouting myself in my head. I'm a professional pitch side. Snaps. I can't just like out of nowhere shout. I let the fans do that because that's your job. But for me, I'm just like, come on, boys. Like, why are you so slow? Just, you know, there's too many touches. I don't know. I'm sure there is some pressure there for some of the players. You know, you've got the big Portman Road crowd on top of them. But there's just times where you think, I've watched the highlights again this morning, as I said, and there's just times where I'm like, why are you so slow there? Why, you know, and there's some good balls from Dara O'Shea. You know, once again, we're going a bit more direct this season. But just once again, just so slow with the ball and just some decision makings. We'll get onto Chuba Akpom later, but there's times with him, he's made too many touches. And I'm like, if that was prime Middlesbrough Chuba Akpom, we'll be loving it right now. But unfortunately, just lacking so much confidence. But once again, we can sort of repeat a previous podcast. We've said this before about, you know, going against, you know, low block teams and struggling. We need to find a way past it because I have a feeling there's going to be a few other teams that will come to Portman Road doing the same.
Yeah, why wouldn't you? When you look at the disparity between the last two home games and the last two away games, AJ, it's pretty stark. What's your take on this? Because it's clearly going to be a challenge, a problem that McKenna and his team are going to have to overcome. And I know in your player ratings, you refer to Dara O'Shea being one of the most creative players, which is maybe not something you want from a centre-back or to say around this sort of game. So how do you think they need to approach it?
Firstly, credit to Wrexham. Right approach for them because they were missing so many key players from their squad. Through injuries and other issues, and the two wing backs were out. Obviously, Kiefer Moore wasn't in the squad for this one, which was good from an Ipswich perspective. And I think they got to a point where they realised coming to a club that has players worth a group of players worth more times, multiple times more than what they have on the pitch, maybe it is better just to try and get that point. And the fact that they had two shots in the game, both were blocked, I think basically summed up that. And the problem is, when I look at it as well, and you look at the shot map, one thing that Wrexham did well, and Ipswich need to find the answer to, is a lot of these shots are coming from outside the area. Mm. Teams are defending their box really well and really deep, and Ipswich don't have the way of breaking through and finding those little gaps to exploit. They have the opportunities, and there were opportunities. There were not enough opportunities and not enough clear ones, but they did have them to go and win the game. And the finishing was poor. The end product was poor. The two that stand out to me, aside from maybe the McAteer one at the end, was Davis getting into a good position, rolls it into the gloves of Okonkwo. There's one where Sindre Vala-Egeli picks up the ball, a loose ball down the right, runs through a goal. We've seen him score these goals a million and one times in all his Norway under 21 clips and everything he's done in the past. And again, he just is too tame, bit of a P roller, too easy for the goalkeeper. So they need to do more with those. They did have opportunities to go and do it. The biggest thing for me is the creativity. And I know that the speed of counters and attacking is obviously, as Ross mentioned, is an important thing, and they need to be so much better with it. They're lacking pace in this team a little bit, but they're also lacking a creative player. There's such an impetus on really two players to do that. One is Leif Davis, who, if you keep quiet, can really take the sting out what Ipswich do going forward. The other one quite often is Sindre. And again, that's a lot of burden to kind of shoulder for a 19-year-old player. And I guess beyond that, you're looking at Dara O'Shea and the fact that he's the player who's at the back stretching the pitch with those crossfield passes up to Philogene. There were a couple of times he did that. Excellent. But you can't be relying on your centre-back to get attacks going and creating so much from deep positions. They need to have more creativity on the pitch. And at risk of looking ahead a little bit too much, I don't think it works with the second striker position in that number 10 role.
We are going to talk about that, obviously. Let's first of all, though, hear from Leif Davis, who is sporting a little upper lip coverage, shall we say, which we're also going to find out a little bit more about. Let's hear from Leif on the game, first of all.
Yeah, it was tough. It was a game of two halves, really. I think in the first half we had opportunities to go and score. Then the game plan changed for them in the second half, where they came man for man. I think if we grabbed that goal in the first half, it would have been a different game. They would have probably chased the game a bit more, and then the game would have opened up. But I still think we had opportunities in the game where we could have scored, and we just got to be a bit more clinical.
Not the result you were looking for, but I think it's five unbeaten now, three wins and a couple of draws, a little bit of momentum?
Yeah, definitely. But every point counts. Come to the end of the season, every point will add up. But like you say, it's not the draw we wanted, but we should have took the 3 points away from the game. But football's football. It could be an important point coming at the end of the season, so yeah.
Leif, the manager's spoken before about how sometimes in games what we've seen is that team starts really well, builds momentum, creates chances, but there's a bit of a frustration maybe when that doesn't happen. It's been an improvement in that side maybe in the last few weeks, but is there still some work to be done on that aspect?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's just hard and frustrated when teams come and sit off you, trying to... We're not used to it. Obviously, we're used to teams coming out, we're trying to press, go for a game of bit of basketball game. But I think when the game goes like that, I think teams know that we'll come out on the right side of that. That's why teams do sit in against us, because we've got the quality going forward. But like I said, we have to adapt to that, and we have to break teams down like that who sit in and don't give you many chances. I think when you do get the chance, you've got to take it, because you're not going to get many more in the game, especially against back fives. They're just going to block everything, block crosses, all that, and then they've got more bodies in the box when we're trying to score. But like I said, it's just trying to dial in and doing everything we can to change the game and go that extra step into there and get a goal.
Okay, we'll hear a little bit more from Leif in a minute about his new contract and that upper lip foliage, shall we call it. AJ, you alluded to it there. How do you solve a problem like the number 10 spot? Because on paper, Town are really well stocked. They've got two former Golden Boot winners to play in that position. They've got Sammy Smodic source injured at the moment. Shubrak Pomer actually ripped things up last time using this league with Middlesbrough. But neither of them have really kind of made that their own. We've seen Nunes there as well. And you just alluded to it there, saying it's not really working. So how would you solve it? I've seen some people actually saying why can't we have Cameron Humphreys given a go there? And he's played there before, and we've seen him play the 10 before and do it pretty effectively. So give us your thoughts on this particular problem.
The answer is Marcelino Nunez, in my eyes. Oh, there you go, sold, done. the issue is the fact that Marcelino Nunez cannot play every minute of every game up until January, when there's the opportunity to recruit. And the problem, as I alluded to, as I see it, is that Ipswich don't seem to function in this system with the second striker role. They don't seem to function with a player like Szmodics or like Chuba Akpom, who want to play off Hurst or Azon, who want to get into the box, who want to feed off what the wingers are doing, which a lot of the times, is cutting in and shooting. That's where the lack of creativity comes from. You need essentially a playmaker to play through that central role. So when you're having someone that wants to hang around the box, wants to score, isn't a creator, because Chuba Akpom isn't that. He doesn't get assists. He's spent most of his career as a striker. When you look at Szmodics, who's in the same position, slightly different in a way, but it hasn't really worked out for him. And obviously he's still out on the sidelines with the injury at the moment. That's just something that isn't really suiting Ipswich's system. Then you look at Nunez, who came on for, I'm just going to check what minute he came on, 75. Last 15 minutes of the game, didn't really work out that much for him, but you could see the spark and the energy and the creativity that he brought, the way that he picks out little pockets in central areas. He looks up, he's always picking the right pass. He's always finding the runners. He's always able to see those little bits of space, the gaps to thread players in and create things. And that is what Ipswich is sorely missing in the team without him. So, yeah, that's the problem for me. There's reliance on wide players who want to come in and shoot a lot. And that means that you're looking at Azon, for example, who played 65 minutes. And should we see how many touches of the ball he had? He had 22 touches, one touch in the opposition box in this game. He was starved of service. So you need a player behind who's going to pull the strings and create. And at the moment, Akpom isn't able to do that. He isn't, let's be honest here, it's not just down to a system thing. He isn't performing well enough at the moment. But I think that stylistically, with him and with Szmodics, there are some real issues in terms of how they fit into this team in that number 10 role. And they need a creator to play in that position to get the best out of the other attacking players around them.
Rossi, you've unmuted yourself, so do you have something to say on this?
Yeah, there is one man who recently spoke in a pre-press conference saying this is a position you want to be playing in the future, the number 10 role, and that is Sindre Wally Igeli. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, the Norwegian lad. He sort of said that that's the position he wants to be playing, in the future. And I think, why not give it a go? But then it's like the right wing, Casey McAteer, bless him. He's struggling. Had a big chance, didn't he, in the second half. Obviously, Wes Burns has come back, but you won't be chucking in him straight away. But I would like to see Sindre in the number 10 at some point.
The balance just still feels a little bit off in a way, doesn't it? Just trying to find it. And I'll always go back to that press conference that we had with Kieran up at Preston, and we asked about where this team is in terms of making it. That was before Sindre came in, before Azon came in and Nunez came in, and he was saying, and Casey McAteer, should be said, and he said, look, the balance of the team isn't right. I think Jack Clark started on the right in that game. And even though you've not got kind of square pegs around holes, you're not playing people out of position, it still doesn't feel quite right. There's still something that isn't working with the balance of the attack. And they have found the answer to that, because look, they've gone away from home and scored 8 goals in their last 2 away trips. It's not like it's some huge issue that's plaguing them week in, week out. But being able to deliver that consistently is a real problem. So I'm not sure. I think there's more than one thing behind it. But looking at it from what I saw over the weekend, the big thing that I see is the creativity in midfield. The fact that the wingers naturally, as they should and have the right to, given the quality that they have, want to get into the box and take people on and shoot. They're not creators. And that leaves you with this kind of creative void that if Leif Davis isn't delivering, then you're struggling a little bit in that sense. As I say, Davis is a huge part of that. Sindre has kind of both elements to his game, but you can't put that much of a weight on a 19-year-old, and then you're looking at Dara, for example, and his crossfield balls. So they do need to add creativity into the squad, both in the short term in terms of probably getting Marcelino Nunez back in, and I also think looking ahead, that's going to be a big thing for January. We'll be adding a creative element into the squad.
Let me ask you another question then about being clinical and not taking chances, AJ, which again is something we've referred to. And it sounds odd talking about this because I think they're still, what, third highest scorers in the division. They have scored a lot of goals this season, yet we're sitting here saying, God, they haven't got any creativity. Akpom, who you've just referenced there, it's not really happened for him. And McAteer as well, obviously had a huge chance in this game. Could have won the game late on, probably should have won the game late on, should have at least hit the target. What do you do with those two then? You say Akpom doesn't work in the 10, even though that's where he had his success at Middlesbrough. So do you think they should be looking at playing him further forward as a striker? And McAteer, you could argue, on paper, is the most Wes Burns-like player to play that role, but it's just not happened for him. You know, lack of confidence, whatever. He's talked about how tough he's found it, you know, coming down here on his own, leaving the only club he's ever played for, all that sort of stuff. Does he just need more game time? Kind of that seems counterintuitive. A guy who's not performing, you say, well, play him some more. Let's see what he does.
Yeah, a couple of ways. I mean, the first point I want to say in terms of the goal scoring, things like that, I feel that Ipswich quite often are a team that, in their current guys, rely on a moment of real individual quality to get them up and running. And then they're 1-0 up, then the game opens up. Like, look at the last game. They had Jack Clark, who scored from 20-odd yards against Swansea, and then the game opened up. Look how many times we've seen Jaden Philogene score from 20-odd yards, and then the game opens up. And it feels like when you don't have that moment of magic and real individual quality, that Ipswich as a unit don't have the creativity to do it. So, that's kind of the first point. In terms of the other two, McAteer, I think, is the easier one of the two because he's younger, because he's more inexperienced, and because I do genuinely think the answer is just patience. There's enough in, not necessarily what we've seen for Ipswich, but enough from what we know about him physically, from what we know about him from his time at Leicester, for playing for Ireland, for example, there is quality there. And you have to, I think, with him, back the coaching of Kieran McKenna to get the best out of him. And he needs his confidence rebuilt because I think he's had a pretty torrid time. He's come in to a totally different club. The first time he's moved away from his boyhood club permanently. He's 24 at the moment. He's having very limited game time. There are a lot of times where he's an unused substitute. That's going to be demoralising. Then comes into a huge international break for Ireland, and he's left out of the squad for what's been one of their biggest couple of games that they've had in their recent history. So I think his confidence would probably be on the floor, and that's where I'd look at Kieran McKenna to start building that up again. So with him, I think patience is the thing, and also the fact they paid a hell of a lot of money for him means that you have to give him that time and patience to make sure that you get what you've paid for. With Tuber Akpom, it's harder, and to be honest, I don't know. It feels quite brutal and conclusive saying it like this, but when he signed in the summer, I wasn't quite sure about it, to be honest. I think we spoke about a couple of concerns we had around that one. It's not working in the 10. I don't think it will work as the striker. Where does he fit in? I'm not quite sure. The performances aren't good enough and it doesn't feel like he fits the team. And that's difficult when you've got a player who, if Ipswich go up this season, will be a permanent Ipswich Town player for £7 or £8 million. I can't remember off the top of my head. So that's one I'm not too sure. Again, this is someone that I think Kieran McKenna was keen to sign. It's on him to find that answer out. To be perfectly honest, I'm really not too sure with Tuber Akpom. Could there be more minutes in the number nine role? I don't know. Is it a case of doing the same with McAteer, put him in the 10 and ride out and hope that he gets one goal and all of a sudden everything starts to flow? It's totally possible. But I'm not 100% sure what the answer will be with Tuber.
I want to ask you both one more question before we move on and hear a bit more from Leif about his contract and his moustache. Cherry Hunt, one of our columnists, has said, he's written a piece this morning saying, yes, there are positives to take. But he still has a number of gripes with Kieran McKenna, one of which is rotation, which we talked about a lot. The other one he says, why is it not possible in terms of the kind of predictability of substitutions? Why is it not possible for Hurst and Nazon to play together up top? The old just play 4-4 effing 2 solution, which tends to be, and I don't mean to stereotype people by age, tends to be something that the older generation of football fans call for in terms of unlocking the door when you're looking for goals. So, Rossi, can you see any reason why they can't do it? I mean, I'll ask AJ as a kind of, I guess, more considered football analysis. But for you sitting on the sideline, who watches a lot of football, is that something you'd like to see?
Yeah, don't get me started with XG, bloody hell. Yeah, I don't know. It is a sort of modern day thing, isn't it, with managers? They just don't want to play too up top. Definitely when you're chasing a game, you're trying to get a goal. That is, for me, that's me just maybe the simple football brain that I have. Just bring on more forwards because they'll help you, you know, attack the goal. And I don't know if we've seen it yet. We Hurston, I think Hurston has on. Maybe they've been once or twice this season, maybe. AJ would be better than me to remember that, but I know it's definitely happened this season. I know there's been a time where Hurst and Azon has been on the pitch because I think I've got a picture of them together. But yeah, I don't know. McKenna doesn't, he can be a little bit predictable with subs. It's just like for like. And yeah, is Hurst on for Azon, Clark on for Philogene, and then yeah, Cuesday on for Taylor. And it's just sort of like, oh, I'm sure Wrexham already got that noted down before the game. Like, yep, they're going to probably bring them on. So we're going to target that player then, this player then. But yeah, I don't know. At home as well, just bring on another striker. You know, excite the fans. And you never know what will happen. But yeah, it's just that modern day of football. Like, yeah, they don't want to go to play two up top. It's 4-4-2. No, they did that back in the 90s. The dinosaurs and all that. But yeah, for me, give it a go.
AJ, run your analysis on this then. Why can't they just play two up top? What's the reason?
Well, we've seen more of it in the Championship. There are more teams that are doing it. Coventry have done it recently. Millwall play sometimes with that, sometimes with a bit of a second striker. There are other teams who use that system, and we're seeing it more, the 4-4-2. The problems with it, essentially, there's two bits I see. One, it leaves yourself more open and vulnerable, simply because you're taking the player who would play in a deeper role. You shrug, Ross, but then you're in a position where you're stuck on the counter. You're playing a more open 4-4-2, especially when Ipswich's two midfielders do quite often play quite far apart, and that can leave the back four exposed. You're losing a man out of midfield who would be tracking back, and then you lose 1-0 to Wrexham. And we're talking about no positives at all from the game because they've lost to Wrexham. So there's that side of things. The other thing is that adding another striker doesn't always mean goals. If we play the team with 10 strikers, they're not going to score loads of goals because they don't have anyone to pass them. You need someone there. Again, and I'm coming back to the creativity point, you need, the biggest thing for me is having someone that plays the ball into the right areas. They only had that a couple of times in this game, but not enough. It wasn't necessarily about having someone in the box to put it in the net. This was about getting it into the right areas. And for all the dominance that they had, for the 63% possession, for all the time they spent in the opposition box, they didn't do enough for Azon. And if you put Hurst in the box as well, you're not doing enough for Hurst or for Azon. So, it's certainly something you could consider playing that if you balance out the risks and the rewards of the two things. But I'm not certain it would result in an improvement because, as I say, the finishing, I don't think necessarily is the problem. If you're going to play a system like that, if you're going to play a 4-2-3-1, if you're going to play a 4-3-3, a 3-5-2, whatever, it's about making sure that whoever's leading the line has opportunities to actually touch the ball. And poor even Azon played 65 minutes. I said, one touch in the opposition's box. They didn't get the ball to him. And is adding George Hurst to that team going to do the same? Or did they just get cut off in the final third and they end up touching the ball once each? That's the problem for me. So, yeah, creativity is the name of the game.
Creativity. Right then. Speaking of creativity, someone who is a proven creator is Leif Davis, who signed a new deal last week. Only just agreed a new one not long ago. He's now signed another one, which is good business from the club, you'd have to say. So you boys in the media pack got to speak to him after the game about it. So let's hear from Leif and what he said about signing this new deal.
I was delighted to sign it. I've said a lot of times I love this club. So committed to being here. And when Mark obviously spoke to us about it, it was a no-brainer, really. I was really fully committed with my future here. I mean, now it's done, I can just focus on my football for the rest of the season as well.
You only signed one a year ago. What were those conversations like with Mark Ashton, the manager, in terms of why this was the right thing for you to sign another one now?
The offer was on the table, so there's no reason for us to leave anyway. There's no reason for us to switch up to go anywhere else. I'm happy here. I've told Mark at the start of the season when there was interest around, well, the rumours that were going around, I said, yeah, I'm fully committed to being here, and my full aims are to get this team back to the Premier League, and that's what I want to do. And yeah, the offer is the contract, and I said I couldn't turn it down. So yeah, I was delighted when that happened.
AJ, you're chuckling away there. Were you aware that there was some heavy artillery just being moved around just behind you, like some tanks rolling through or something?
The mix zone is a busy place after a game. I didn't really notice it. When I listened back to it to do the transcription for what went up over the weekend, go read the chat I had with Lee Davis, I didn't really hear it as much, but listening to it there, it did sound a little bit like I was in a wind tunnel there, didn't it? That wasn't great.
But it's good business. That might not have been great in terms of audio, but it's great that he's signed another new, because he's clearly, you know, one of Town's major assets, and he's fully committed to the project here at Ipswich.
He is, and I've said this, I think, before with Leaf, where you can hear players say, I'm committed to the project. But the way he talks about Ipswich, you believe it. And the amount of times that we've asked him about it, because he's been linked to half the Premier League at this point, Forest most recently, West Ham, probably Newcastle. There's a handful of clubs he's been linked to in the past. And we've had to come up and say, look, where are you at the moment? He's always been 100% committed. There's not been any kind of half-heartedness. There's not been any kind of airy-fairy language. He's very much kind of wedded to this project. And given where he is in his career, 25, I think, off the top of my head, last time he was at this level, bagged copious amounts of assists, is quite a high profile in the division. He could easily say, look, you know what, this is now time for me to play in the Premier League. But he's got his head screwed on. He spoke a lot, quite openly, about how his confidence was knocked in the Premier League and he wasn't ready for it, and he needs to go back to the Championship. And that takes some maturity to do, I think. And it also takes some maturity to kind of, I suppose, repay the faith as well that Ipswich have shown in him, because he came in from Leeds having not really had that many opportunities to play regular football in his career at all, has that £1 million move into League One, and now has developed into such a well-rounded, especially attacking, left-back. So deserves huge credit for what he's done, and deserves huge credit for the way that he's committed to this football club. And obviously, from an Ipswich perspective, it's brilliant if we keep up. If we keep signing Leif Davis onto new contracts every single year and just up the year. Last year, he signed in October. He signed a deal until the summer of 2028. Now, November this year, he signed until the summer of 2029. Yeah, let's just keep that one going, and he'll be here for a long time.
The other thing that Leif Davis is committed to is his new upper lip warmer, Ross. Him and Dara O'Shea are doing Movember. We've also seen some pictures of Dara from the weekend with that moustache. As our most notable facial hair wearer, what's your take on the look? Have you ever been tempted to do Movember before we hear from Leif as to why he's doing it?
No, unfortunately not. I know it's for a good cause, but I would just look stupid. I know, in a way,
that's kind of the idea, isn't it? I think
idea, yeah. And I think Leif's mentioned he's got more ginger than he was hoping it was going to be. But yeah, like some people, it actually suits them a little bit. I know there's some of the KOA army doing it. Good old Ben Diaf was donning it when I saw him in the week. Kieran Newsbury, good old K-Dog from Wales, he's donning it as well. And I think there's a few others. I think Tom Baines, he's done it a few times as well. And he suits it as well. But yeah, I know it's for a great cause. But yeah, I don't know. Maybe in 1 year. Maybe we could do a Roscoe sort of journey with the moustache, but then it means I have to shave off everything else, don't I? So
yeah.
I don't ever really shave off the side bits, so don't know.
The thing is, like, you have a good beard, you have some good growth there. I mean, you could have a really like top tier Wing Commander style tash. I think it'd be worth considering. And don't mention Ben Diaz to me, obviously. I'm still bitter about that. Shall we hear from Leif about why he's doing Movember? Let's do it.
Movember, you're growing it out. There's a bit of a ginger in there. Talk to me about that and who you're doing it with.
Yeah, so it was, I think we were sitting on the coach in an away game, and we seen it coming up, and I think it was just before November hit, and me and Dara just looked at each other on the coach, because I sat next to Dara, and I was just like, let's do it. Like, we might as well, and we're talking through what I want to go for, go handle boards or just the tash and all that kind of stuff. And I was just like, yeah, let's just do the tash. It's probably the worst one out of everyone. So, yeah, just me and Dara. But like I say, it's all for a good cause. Something close to my heart as well that I lost a good friend with, taking his own life from back home years ago when I was at Bournemouth. It was a thing that I was fully committed to doing, and I know it doesn't look good, like, but it's for a good cause, and it's hopefully we raise the target that we get, and we do everything we can to keep pushing with the mental health stuff, and it's not just for men's but women as well. I think we've got to do everything we can to make and be there for each other.
Well said, Leaf. Obviously a great cause. It does make you look like an extra from Bread. Which you boys have probably never heard of or seen, but that was a look back in the day at that particular sitcom. Anything else to mention from this game, boys, before we move on to Hull? Because Hull, on paper, looks like it could be more exciting than this one.
Again, I don't probably want to talk about this game again. I think we should very quickly draw a line through it and move on.
All right, let's do it.
Was Ross got on? Oh, yeah, here we go. Come on, let's go, Ross.
Got one little stat here. Obviously, shout out to Renegade Statman, the Ipswich Town Statman. He mentioned about Christian Walton because, of course, we got a clean sheet, which is happy days. He got his 41st ever clean sheet for Town and moves him up to joint ninth in history with Bartosz Białkowski, who was a regular goalkeeper. So not just a nice little stat that maybe went under the radar a little bit with Christian Walton. 41 clean sheets in 102 free games, something like that, because he recently made his 100th appearance recently. So not bad ratio, that.
That is a good stat. Dear old Bart, of course. Excellent keeper in his time at Ipswich Town. Should we talk about Hull City then, AJ? This on paper has the makings of being an excellent, exciting game. Clearly, there's history there in terms of exciting games against Hull. On paper, you look at Hull, they're in the playoff spots. They score a lot of goals, second most in the division, behind only high-flying runaway leaders Coventry. They also concede a lot of goals. I think joint second in the entire division as well in terms of conceding goals. And I know their boss was lamenting how many shots they gave away at the weekend at QPR. 26 shots QPR had, and that's not even the highest that teams have had against them this season. Bristol had 29 earlier in the season. So on paper, this might be the sort of game that Town absolutely thrive in.
Yeah, you've nailed it. Might as well move on. Yeah, Hull City are nuts. Hull City are the great entertainers of the Championship. When they were leading against QPR over the weekend, they were temporarily third in the table. However, to use previous terminology, they wet the bed and lost that 1-3-2. Having won 3-2 the previous week, 3-2 is quite a popular scoreline.
Yeah, it does seem to be.
Birmingham by that one. They lost 4-2 at Bristol City. They drew 3-3 at Wrexham in the Cup at the start of the season. 3-1 win against Southampton. They are nuts. And it's a bit weird when you actually go look through and look at the team. They're missing important players and the actual squad doesn't feel like it's that kind of exciting. Gelhart, who's performing ridiculously well, hasn't done so previously in his career, really, to be honest. He's on loan from Leeds. 8 goals, 2 assists. Pip Jaden Philogene, of course, to the Goal of the Month award. Last time out, they had Matt Crooks, who I think has been linked to Ipswich a lot in the past, playing in that number 10 role. Carl Joseph, whose finishing numbers are really poor, has got 3 goals this season. Last time they played out with the Ennis Destan, up front. They're a little bit crazy in terms of how they approach things, in terms of the numbers of goals they concede. At the moment, it's leading them kind of on the right side of the margins. They feel like a team where maybe, you know, because you score so many goals, you concede so many goals. Is it sustainable to be around the promotion places? I'm not too sure at this point. I can see them fading out, but hell, are they fun to watch? So it's set up as well. You look at the goals they've scored, 28 this season, 25 of those have come from open play. So they're a team that want to get it down, want to go at you, want to turn it into a basketball game, wants it to be end-to-end. And on paper, that suits Ipswich. It feels like, could we have a repeat of the last trip up to the MKM Stadium? That was a real rollercoaster. The 3-3 draw the week before promotion was secured. It's probably one of the best games of football I've seen. That 3-3 draw, but that is the kind of team that Hull are, and under Jakirovic, they're just a little bit mental, to be honest.
Do you remember the Matt Crooks saga, Ross? when he was going to sign, he wasn't going to sign, he was going to sign, he was going to sign, and he didn't sign. And now he won't actually play tomorrow. I think he's suspended, so Town won't face him tomorrow. Who should play for Town, Rossi? Because clearly there's going to be some rotation, and there's a couple of players in the Town side with history at Hull, of course, Greaves and Philogene. Greaves, I'm sure, will be very keen on playing, and you know, the past rotation suggests he will come in for this game. Who would you be looking at playing for this one?
And that sort of chat again is like, will we see more rotation? Because I know a lot of fans are like, oh, just stick with one team and do changes if there's suspensions and injuries. But obviously this team away from home has been incredible. So do you bring players who have done well on the road? You know, Jack Clark for Philogene. Obviously, we know Philogene is different player away from home, although I think he's forgot that he played for Hull. Didn't he, AJ, once? He's like, oh, yeah, I played for Hull City.
He got asked about them winning over the week. I think it might have been last season, and Kieran McKenna came up to him and Jacob Greaves and said it was a good win for Hull. It was when they stayed up at the end of last season. And Jacob Greaves obviously knew all about this, and it was like a dramatic last day survival, and Jaden Philogene was like, what? Hull were in a relegation battle? Had no clue about anything that was going on there. So, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, but yeah, Jack Clark, I'll start him. I think there's an opportunity for him to have fun in this game. Nunes in the 10, just put him in there. It's just not working with Tuber at the moment. He comes out. Sindre on the right. Maybe keep Azon. Start Azon again up top. Greaves going up against his former team. Why not? I'm sure he'll love that sort of homecoming. Matasiwa and Kuestay, my two centre mids, please. And yeah, the rest sort of picks itself, really. So yeah, there's a few changes there, which on the one who gets annoyed about rotation, but for away from home, sometimes it's okay to have a few changes here and there. But I think we need changes after Saturday's performance.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of rotation, which has an ongoing conversation and narrative around Ipswich Town, Asia, but clearly you would say in this game, and they're also then playing at Oxford on Friday, so three games in very quick succession, this would be the game that you would, there's certainly more justification than ever to make changes in. And there are you know, players who would obviously maybe be suited to this sort of game. We've already talked about Jens Kajuster and, you know, the fact this is like to be an open game. What kind of changes would you be looking at making?
I'd essentially play the team Ross has just said. The only thing that I would do is I'd have George Hurst in there. I think, looking at Hull, John Egan's going to play for them. Experienced centre-back, has played in the Premier League regularly. He needs someone to keep him busy. I think George Hurst will do that better than Azon. Azon is such a different striker, isn't he? But what you get with George Hurst is, even though he's not getting the goals and maybe his performances aren't what he'd hope and all of those things, he keeps centre-backs busy. And if you do that, that was what brings Jack Clark or Jaden Philogene into the game. That's what brings Sindre Bala-Egeli into the game, where you're able to essentially, yeah, keep the two centre-backs occupied. That will open up the space. So I'd start Hurst in this one. I'm sure the hangover, if he had one, has now worn off. And other than that, I think I'd probably be looking at the same team that Ross has picked. I'll run through it. Walton in goal, Furlong, O'Shea, Greaves and Davis along the back line. Matasiwa and Kajuster as the two in midfield. Sindre on the right, Jack Clark on the left, and Nunez behind Hurst is what I would do. Ross, nod if we're up for the app. We like that. Yeah, there we go. There's your team for tomorrow.
Is that what we're going to see, do you reckon? I mean, clearly Greaves is going to be desperate to play at Hull against his former side that you're really impressed with. But do you think we're just going to see Greaves and Kiepre just rotated like game for game going forward?
If you asked me this a month ago, I would have said no. I think that there will come a point where it will settle. But there's no suggestion to say that's the case at the moment, is there? I know that other people aren't that keen on it. I know that Stu, for example, really hates it, the chopping and changing of it. As much as I have some issues with it, Ipswich's defensive side's been really good in the last, well, since October 25th, and they beat West Brom 1-0. They recovered from their little hiccups from the Borough and Charlton games. And since then, they've kept a couple of clean sheets, and it's been zeros and ones, hasn't it, in the defensive sense. The only goals they've conceded were silly ones against QPR and against Watford, and a fairly well-taken goal from Swansea to equalise in that game. So the defensive side isn't a problem for me. If it's not, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it's working and McKenna's happy with it and he wants to chop and change the two centre-backs to give out opportunities, then so be it, as long as it's not going to jeopardise what Ipswich are doing defensively. And at the moment, we've now got a five-game evidence for it. It seems to be working okay.
Right then, let's do predictions, Rossi, shall we? None of us scored, of course, over the weekend because we all predicted wins. I think none of us, had we sat here and gone 0-0, I think everyone else would have gone, what? So it's as you were in terms of predictions. I am, I think, fourth in the table. So just outside the kind of automatic promotion spots. But, you know, as I say, it's just a bit of fun, isn't it? So it doesn't really matter. What give us your prediction for this one, Rossi?
Oh, it's definitely going to be entertaining game. We've got three very big away games. I think this is the toughest out of all three of them. So I'll be happy with a point, which some people go, no, Ross, no, we've got to win. We've got to get points on the board. But we sort of, we know a bit about Hull, don't we? So I'm going to go Desmond 2-2.
Who's going to score for Town?
Goal scorer will be the boy. Yeah, Sindre. Finally get a goal. He'll do like a Mario Hutchinson style. Score one of those classic sort of, yeah, you know.
Cut in, belt it.
Yeah. Boom, lovely. So, he'll open the score and Hull will score. Then we'll score again and Hull will bloody, well, no, maybe Hull go 2-1 up and we'll go, no! And then we go and score and that equaliser, get a very good point to take us to Oxford.
So that's guaranteeing that Casey McAteer will start tomorrow. AJ, what's your prediction?
I spoke about 3-2s. I'm going to stick with it. I think Ipswich will win the game 3-2. I think it will be goals, goals, goals. Gary goals everywhere. First goal scorer. I was going to go down the Sindre route because looking at Hull, Ryan Giles is a little bit Leif Davis-y in the way that he bombs up the flank. He's got 7 assists so far this season from left back. And I think that as good as he is going forward, I think he can be exposed on that side. So I think that Ross's shout is good, but I'll mix it up. And I think that actually it'll be Sindre, a little bit like QPR, will get some space down the right and he won't shoot Amari Hutchinson style. He'll cross and he'll cross onto the head of George Hurst, who will open the scoring. So 3-2. 3-2 Ipswich win and Hurst first goal scorer from a Sindre Vala Egerly cross.
I'm going to go with a win. I'm going to go again, looking at recent score lines. I'm going to go 4-1. Three straight 4-1 wins away from home. This is obviously going to be a game where you expect there to be goals. I think in a game like this, Town will always back themselves to come out on top. And given that Hull are especially wobbly in terms of conceding goals as well, I'm going to go 4-1. And I think the first goal scorer is going to be, I was going to say George Hurst, but I won't say that now. I will say Marcelino Nunes. Why not? We'll go with Nunes. So 4-1 for me. AJ saying 3-2 and Rossi is saying 2-2. We'll find out what Stu thinks and share.
Nailed
that.
On 0-0. Yeah. Now that we've all said this.
A really dire 0-0 game. I hope not. So we'll find out from Stu obviously what he thinks and we'll share that ahead of the game tomorrow. Anything else to mention, boys, before we take our leave? We're almost going to hit exactly the golden hour, which would be beautiful and something to celebrate.
I'm going to say no other business, so we do get that perfect hour.
Excellent. AJ, how about from you?
I feel like I need to say something to pad it out to the hour and 57.
I've got plenty to pad it out, mate. Don't you worry.
Good. Right. No further business. You pad it out, Mr. Heath.
Because I've got lots of reminders. KOA Live 3 at the Bat in Ipswich, Saturday, December the 20th, less than a month away now. Hopefully history will be made when Town win for the first time on the day of a KOA Live show because they play Sheffield Wednesday that afternoon. Tickets still available. Links all over our social medias. We'd love to see as many of you there as possible. They're good nights. We have obviously a lot of chat about Town, a lot of banter, a lot of nonsense. Ross is probably going to dress up as Santa Claus and then try and duct tape a horse to a lamppost as revealed in the last show. That's something to look forward to. That's worth a £10 alone, isn't it? So tickets available. Go and get them now, please. We'd love to see you there. Latest competition. money can't buy competition. If you're a subscriber, and if you're not a subscriber, you should be. But if you're not, there's the best offer on of the year at the moment. £6 for 6 months will take you basically to the end of the season, or £26 will take you all the way to the end of 2026. And if you sign up now, you get the rest of November and all of December thrown in as well. So 13 and a half months for £26. Can't say fairer than that. And that means you can enter, as well as get all the content that we put out and watch this podcast and read Stewie's verdict and AJ's ratings and that kind of stuff. You can also enter exclusive competitions, and our latest competition is the most exclusive of exclusive competitions, because if you win this one, friends, you can come with us to a game. And this was the feedback we got from our subscribers. We asked them what competition you would like to be able to enter, and this was the one they said: come and watch a game with the Kings of Anglia. So that's exactly what we're offering. If you win this competition, you can come with us on Saturday, January 31st, to watch Town against Preston. You can join us pre-match in the media centre, have some media scran. Hopefully, by the sound of it, dirty mac and cheese is what we want. You can review that with Ross on game day. You can react to the team news with Ross on game day as well. Then you can come and watch the game with me, Stewie and AJ in the press box, which is quite an experience. Press box, obviously, has been significantly upgraded since the days of the old championship. You've got your lovely monitor, so you can sit there and watch it with us. And then you can attend the post-match pressers with Kieran McKenna post-match as well. So really just getting insight into how the boys work during a match day, and obviously an experience that not many people get to have. So please do enter that competition. If you're not a subscriber, you can just sign up and enter it. You have to be a subscriber to enter. And then, of course, the other thing to mention is our wonderful sponsors. I've already mentioned them at the start of the show, so let's mention them at the end. Stardust Spirits. Use the code KOA to get 20% off all that excellent stuff at Stardust Spirits. And they've got a new festive pack, friends, which I'm showing here now. One of their sampler packs, which I've yet to crack open because it's not really Christmas yet. But these are basically festive spiced liqueurs. So you've got a festive spice gin liqueur, you've got a festive spice vodka liqueur, and you've got a festive spice rum liqueur. That's where their new sampler pack for Christmas. You can see here as well, look, all the awards they've won. Gold in the World Drinks Awards. Multiple award winner Stardust Spirits. Happy to have them on board, and hopefully Gary and the team will be there at KRA Live, so you can buy your own Stardust Spirit stuff and hopefully maybe try a couple of things. Depending on licensing laws, we have to check with the venue, but fingers crossed he'll be there. And then, of course, our other sponsor, the brilliant Molecular UK. If you use the code KOA10 at molecular-uk.com, you can get 10% off all their car cleaning products, which I'm enjoying using at the moment, making my car look very nice indeed, despite the weather, particularly the interior stuff. Absolutely fantastic. So get involved with them, a Leyston company, and it's great to have two local companies supporting the show. So please give them your support if you can. The other thing to mention is 5-star reviews. If you do enjoy the show, and hopefully you do, if you could just leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, just helps us lift us visibility wise in the charts. And also, apparently, I've been reading, helps lift us in the charts as well, because the amount of kind of reviews and engagement you get on that is all part of the algo for lifting you in the charts. It's not just about downloads and how many downloads you get. So that helps again, more people see us and join the KOA army. Right, friends, I guess we better crack on. Busy period. We've got a preview for Hull and various bits to write. So the boys will be travelling up to Hull tomorrow. If you go into the game, well played, fair play, enjoy it. And if you can't follow it, follow it all with us tomorrow night. And then we'll be back at some point later on this week to review that game and look ahead to almost immediately another game on Friday night at Oxford. Busy, busy times, exciting times, good times, hopefully. So we will speak to you, friends, next time.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.